You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Darren Owen, John Babb and Craig Forsyth in the studio. We've got Fontwell and Salisbury on Tuesday afternoon. It's Lingfield and Southwell in the evening, and there's also jumping over in Ireland from Roscommon as well. So plenty to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. Hi, Mick.
Yes, good. Thank you, Mark.
Good man. Now we're going to look at the Monday jury to start with, which looks back at some of the top class action from Epsom, and then we're going to move on to Tuesday's action in due course. So starting with the Monday jury, Mick, what did you think of Golden Horn's Derby performance, and how high can he fly?
I think he's a very good Derby winner. I was terribly impressed with him at York. In fact, I was working at York when he won the Dante, and I think it somewhat clouded my vision in a way, because I just thought to myself, this horse travels like a miler, how can he win the Derby? But he's got the speed of a miler who can win the Derby, and the last time we had one of those was See the Stars. And this horse is very reminiscent of just the way he goes about himself. Unfussy, isn't he? He's not just there, isn't he? And just goes about his job like the thorough professional that he is. And that wonderful turn of foot, and battles when he has to. Not that he has to battle too hard to win the Derby, but he did have to pick up Jack Hobbs, who'd got a poach to start on him. It was a meritorious performance, and I'm looking forward to seeing him take on the older horses. Probably go for the Eclipse now, won't he?
Yeah.
Back to 10-4, there's no problem the way he travels. And I think he'll probably go to See the Stars route, won't he?
Would you be aiming towards the Ark at the end of the season if he was yours, Mick?
Well, certainly nothing to lose, have they? If he gets his mid-season break, I'd sort of knock the King George on the head. And then just go to See the Stars route, Irish champion, Ark.
Yep. Fair enough. Interesting reading what Frankie Dettori said as well in the Racing Post Monday jury. He said, the surge when I gave the flick of the whip 2.5 furlongs out was unbelievable. It was the best day of my career. He said he's as good as Dubai Millennium,
it's a second coming for Frankie, isn't it?
Yeah. You know,
he's been there at the top. He went into the doldrums for a few years, had his trials and tribulations well documented. And he's a rare talent, though, Frankie, and he's an infectious. It's good to see him enjoying the moment, and fair play to him. I thought he, apart from all the everything else that went on after and stuff like that, I thought during the race itself he was an absolutely exemplary ride right from the get-go. That horse almost wanted to do an Elm Park and blitz off. Frankie was having none of it, grabbed a hold of him, made sure that he switched off, which the horse, to his credit, being the perfect gentleman he is, he said, oh, we don't want to go he doesn't want me to go this fast, so I better stop pulling. And he dropped him in. And as a result, Frankie's ended up sort of 4 or 5 places further back than he probably would have wanted to be. But once he got him switched off, he just rode the perfect race on him. He took a pull on him coming down the hill, took a pull on him early in the straight to get him balanced, because he just got a little bit unbalanced as the sort of camber kicked in. But once he got him straightened out, and as they said, that little flick of the whip, he didn't really need it. But he just said, come on, it's wake-up time. Let's go and get Jack Hobbs, and whoosh. That was it.
Mm. Impressive performance from Golden Horn, then. Who'd be the best of the ones in behind?
Well, I was tremendously impressed with Jack Hobbs, who still looks like a work in progress to me.
Yep.
And looks like they're aiming him for the Irish Derby, which is probably a good race for him. He's learning all the time. He learned nothing winning that handicap at Sandown, because it was just a breeze in the park for him. Learned plenty in the Dante, which stood him in good stead at Epsom, but he's still very much a work in progress, and plenty to look forward to with him. For one who'd been so busy, Storm the Stars ran an excellent race fifth run of the season. You don't often see horses going to the Derby where they're having their fifth run, do you? And I thought Giovanni Canaletto ran a good race as well. You know, I think the first four in the Derby are all very high-class colts, and look forward to seeing how they progress.
What did you make of the Oaks, Mick?
And a bit messy, wasn't it?
It was.
I mean, the Guineas winner, she just probably got outstayed. I think the unlucky horse of the race was Diamonds and Rubies, who got a right battering in the race and still rallied to finish fourth. And you wouldn't know what would have happened if she hadn't got involved in that that melee that looked awful live and in real time. But it just, we'll have to see how it works out, won't we? I still think Legatissimo, she'll go back in trip. I still think she's a very high class filly. Qualified, just stamina kicked in. Incredible pedigree she's got. You know, she's by Fastnet Rock, who, although he's a top class sprinter himself, is a good influence for stamina. And on the dam side, there was stamina to burn, wasn't there? So I'm still not sitting on the fence, but I've got an open mind about the Oaks.
All right. What was the training riding performance of the Investec Derby meeting?
Well, there were plenty of them, weren't there? But the one that stuck out for me was the ride young Ed Greatorex gave Albareth, who was only having her second start on turf, got hopelessly unbalanced on the track. And the young man, he just kept his cool and just allowed her to get her equilibrium back. An old head on young shoulders there, I would suggest. And, you know, in a good piece of training by Andrew Bowling as well to deliver a performance like that and only your second start in a competitive race like that at a tricky track like Epsom. I thought that for me that was the training and riding performance of the week.
He's only 16 as well, isn't he, Eddie Greatorex?
It was just an incredible ride. You've got to look back at it to appreciate, and you can see her getting herself unbalanced, and a lot of kids in that situation would have panicked and rushed her and sort of didn't. He just gave a chance to find her stride back, because she's a big filly and she's got a long stride, and I thought it was superb.
All right, I'm going to mention one that's blindingly obvious in there, but to have a 1-2 in the Derby, John Gosden. It's remarkable. He's the only three trainers have done that since the war. Well, he's the third since the war. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, great performance by John Gosden to get both his colts there in top class form and for them to go and fight out the finish. I suppose you'd be watching it with mixed feelings with the wife owning the second or quite a chunk of the second, but great stuff, and you couldn't get any better than a 1-2, could you? I suppose that was the training performance of the week, but the riding performance for me was the one we've just mentioned.
Yeah, as a duo.
Yeah.
Identify one from Epsom's 2 days we should be backing next time.
Yeah, back in next town, I think there were one or two hard luck stories in there. I think Barnett Fair was extremely unlucky in the in the dash, but that's the story of his life, and he will pop up sometime, but he's not one to go overboard on. Stravaganti looks like a group horse in waiting, doesn't he?
Yeah,
the way he won. And Burattino put his experience to good use in the woodcut with a scintillating performance, visually probably the most impressive Turo performance we've seen this side of the Irish Sea so far this year, and a repeat performance at Ascot would see him definitely in the mix, wouldn't it? There were quite a few that Epsom meeting will throw up plenty of winners, Mark. It's just finding them.
That's the hard bit, yeah. The US still has a viable and meaningful Triple Crown. Should we be doing things differently?
Well, you say viable and meaningful. It's a long, long time since one did it, isn't it? I mean, plenty have tried and sort of paid the price for trying, because it all happens too quick, Mark. It's all over and done within a month. Well, you know, three classics in a month just takes a bit of doing. And, you know, considering the way that Espinosa rode American Pharoah in the Kentucky Derby, the horse must be made of granite to come out and win the Preakness and the Belmont the way he did after the unnecessary beating up he got in the Kentucky Derby. And I think it's all about the horse. For me, he must be made of iron. And Bob Baffert certainly has plenty of praise for keeping him right. But there's no compare. You can't compare the two. One over a month, one over most of the from spring to autumn. it's a completely different ball game, and I think we should just leave well alone and not even go there. I think they must want something to write about, if you ask me.
Well, yeah, the way the question's worded as well, meaningful Triple Crown. Well, if any horse were to win the Triple Crown over here, that would mean an awful lot. We saw with Camelot a few years ago.
Absolutely.
And then the hype it got towards the end of the season, the people flocking to Doncaster.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's still the, you know, you've got an all-round amazing horse. If you can do the Triple Crown, it means an awful lot.
The trouble is, they're not breeding them like that now, are they? You'd need an Ardross, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But Ardross would never have had the pace to have won a Guineas, would he? So they're a rare breed, aren't they? I'm not saying it's not meaningful. I'm just leaving things as they are. I mean, the Derby's the Derby, the Guineas is the Guineas, and the Ledger's the Ledger. You know, the Triple Crown is like a pipe dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
But you don't have to mess around with the Ledger just because of what they do in America. It's all over and done with in a month, whereas we have it all season. So I just think they want something to write about, basically.
All right, well, we'll leave that there then, and we'll move on to Tuesday's action. Mick's got four races for us. We'll get his bets for Tuesday on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
All right, we're going to look at four races, as I've mentioned. The first of them is the 2:40 at Fontwell, and this is a handicap chase over 3 miles and 1.5 furlongs. We've got a field of 8 of them here. Mick, who would you side with in there?
Yeah, I like Strumblehead. He's an absolutely smashing horse. He's won 10 of his 47 starts and threw in 8 places, and it just shows you what a good horse he is. And he was back to something like his best as well last time in Force Last, when he did plenty of the donkey work, just got headed going to the last stop. Pigeon Island was on one of his going days, and he came and battered down the outside. But Strumblehead was an honourable third, and I think this is probably a little bit weaker. He's got no wins off marks this high, 118, but he has been placed off higher, suggesting in the right grade it won't be beyond him, and this could be the right grade because there are definite question marks about the opposition here. Probably Leg Iron could be a danger, depends which Leg Iron turns up though, and he's £2 higher than his last win, but he's been pulled up 3 times in his last 5 starts, but he was first and second in the other two. So you just don't know which Leg Iron's going to turn up, do you?
No, that's a trick, isn't it?
And, you know, he's a very difficult horse to get an angle on. And Green Bank, suppose worthy of a mention, because he's trained by Charlie Longs and Dickie Johnson, taking the ride. He's been off for 243 days, and he hasn't got much of a profile for it. Did finish third on 1 reappearance. Nothing in hand of the handicapper either, but not out of it if in the same form as he was at this time last year, in a race that won't take much winning. So they'd be my three against the field, but the stand horse for me is Strumblehead, who we can well set your watch by.
Strumblehead for Mick then there. The 3:55 at Salisbury is where we go next. This is the Margadale Fillies Handicap. It's a Class 4 event over 1 mile and 2 furlongs nearly. It's for three-year-olds and older. We've got a field of 10 here, Mick. Who do you side with in there?
Yeah, it's going to be dominated by the three-year-olds, I think. They get the £13 weight for age over this just short of 10 furlongs trip. And, we'll start with probably the best of the older mares, Stockhill Diva, trained by Brendan Powell. She went up £6 for finishing second at Newbury last time. That's hard to take. But on the plus side, it was her first start for 158 days and the third did win next time. And on the debit side, she's been beaten both starts in the 70s. So she's vulnerable to an improving three-year-old, which she might be going to bump into here. We'll start with Sweet Selection. Huey Morrison trains Nicky Mackay, who's often a go-to jockey for Huey Morrison, is in the saddle. And looked to leave her two-year-old form behind with that winning reappearance at Goodwood. Went up £9 for that, but I think there'll be more to come here because it was after 138 days off. So with Moonlight Sonata out of the race, she's got a definite chance. And the other three-year-old I like is Vanishing, a daughter of Sir Percy. She showed plenty of ability in maidens. She won a weak Red Car Handicap on her reappearance, but bettered that with a close third in a handicap here over 1.5 miles. Would have arguably nearly won at this trip. Steps back to her winning distance, and she gets the vote for me, vanishing in the 355.
Vanishing for Mick in the 3.55 then. The 4.25 at Salisbury is a Class 5 handicap. It's over a mile and a half. It's for four-year-olds and older. And we've got a field of seven here. Felix Fabula caught my eye, Mick, because only narrowly denied last time. And Huey Morrison has booked Ryan Moore to ride.
Yeah, and Huey often targets this race. He's won it twice in recent years. And Ryan Moore up for the first time, which is interesting, isn't it? After returning to form at Lingfield last time. And that was maybe no coincidence. The return to form was in the first time cheap pieces. So she's £2 lower than when she won at Bath last back end. Very likely race seen since we haven't seen much of her, but you know, bits and pieces of form to suggest he's still got plenty of ability. And as I say, Ryan up for the first time with those cheap pieces likely to work again. This looks a good opportunity. Chauvelin's going to take a chunk out of the market, but not much improvement for the first time visor last time when a beaten favourite. This is weak though, but you do have to cherry pick his best efforts and forgive his worst to give him a chance, Chauvelin. And the other one is Perfect Legend, who's sure next to nothing in three all-weather maidens and up to this trip in 2014, but makes its turf debut and handicap debut here off a mark of 55 for the Andrew Balding now with Dave Probert. So watch the market for that one. If it's very strong in the market, keep it on side. But as you said, Mark, this looks a good opportunity for Felix Fabula.
Felix Fabula for Mick then in the 4.25. And the last race we look at is the 7.35 at Lingfield. This is a Class 5 handicap over the extended mile and 7 furlongs. And Toppling's usually somewhere there or thereabouts, Mick.
Yeah, she's the trainer knows the family well. He trained the dam. She's a late developer. She showed absolutely zilch until about her fifth start or sixth start or something like that in August, anyway, last year, when suddenly she took her form into a different level. A mark shot up from 49 to 70 by the end of the season, and she looks as good, if not better, than that this year. Looked a bit unlucky when finishing second in a handicap at Wolverhampton 4 weeks ago. Went up £3 for that, but still a player. But I'm going to give the vote to See and Be Seen here. I know he's got to it's got the steady of 9 stone 10, but Martin Harley takes the ride for Sylvester Kirk back to his winning mark, and that was in a Class 2 Newmarket handicap, and this is a Class 5, and a big chance on that against these if he can come back to something like his best four-year-old form. And the cheap pieces are back on as well. So well handicapped, got a touch of class this horse, and this won't take much winning. Must just give a mention to Todd as well, who Annabelle King seems to be reviving his fortunes. Won over hurdles in Fakenham for the new yard and didn't run too badly on the flat. It was a while ago, but 10 furlongs, 12 furlongs, I should say, was a bit on the short side. And stepped up in trip here with Jimmy Fortune booked. That could be the each way angle, Todd, but I do think CNBC is going to take all the beating here.
Okay, CNBC for Mick then in that one. Let's, as always, Mick, just have a little bit of a quick summary before you go, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I hope Strumblehead can make it 11 from 48 in the Fontwell 240. In the 355 at Salisbury, the Phillies handicap, the Margadale Phillies handicap, vanishing for Ed Walker and Antonio Frezu. Good effort at Windsor last time and gets the vote there. In the 4.25 at Salisbury, I like the look of Felix Fabula. Ryan Moore up for the first time for Huey Morrison, who's won this twice in recent years and is £2 lower than his last win. And I think CNBC has been found a good winning opportunity by Sylvester Kirk in the 7.35 at Lingfield.
Superb. Thank you very much, Mick. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thanks, Mark.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:45 p.m. Darren Owen, John Babb and Craig Forsyth will be in the studio. We've got Fontwell and Salisbury in the afternoon, Lingfield and Southwell in the evening, and we'll also have a bit of Irish action on Tuesday evening from Roscommon as well. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.